Welcome to the Conference Committee on House File 2834. I'm keenly aware that there's a wild game at 8 o'clock, and we will adjourn at 7:30. I think that we have about 12 non-controversial bills in the energy omnibus. I think there's one that's controversial that will maybe take a little bit more conversation. But I intend to move pretty quickly so people have the side-by-sides in front of them. I'd like to start moving language on the non-controversial bills pretty quickly so that we can button up this conference committee maybe tonight, and if not, shortly after that. So starting with the – and looking mostly at the Senate side version in the side-by-side. Now, I don't think we need to do a walkthrough because – these are pretty non-controversial bills, and we'll walk through it as we do the motions. So I'm just going to start with, on the Senate side, Section 2 on page R1, 128 to 26. That is a portion of what was House File 2541, which is the Department of Energy Resources policy bill that was only on the Senate side, and it makes a technical correction from changes made to last year's bill. If there's no objection, I would move that portion. Any objection? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Motion prevails. The next item would be what was House File 3110. It was Senate File 2752. Senator Dibble carried it. This was a bill brought to us by the Legal Aid Society having to do with keeping electrical power to people with certain medical conditions. And on the Senate side of R1, Section 3, it would be lines 2.7 through 2.27. And on page R2, lines 2.28 through 3.2. And I believe that's the entire bill regarding the medically necessary power. Any discussion about that? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Motion prevails. The next motion I think we should take care of pertains to the propane bill. Representative Marquardt carried this in the House. Senator Dahl carried it in the Senate. Their original bills kind of stalled out in our respective commerce committees, but we were able to reach an agreement with the propane industry. And I'm looking for a motion to move on the Senate side sections 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And then sections 21 to 23.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Simonson moves the propane provisions. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, does that include the effective date that the Senate had but not the House?
It does. Any other questions? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails. The next section, looking at page R3 on the Senate side, Section 7. This is a bill that Representative Seltzer carried in the House. Senator Dibble carried in the Senate. It was House File 2466, Senate File 2092, and it related to Xcel's Power On program. Anybody like to move the Seltzer-Dibble language?
I will move it, Madam Chair.
Representative Seltzer moves Section 7 on R3, starting at line 4.13. And continuing on page R4, lines 4.14 to 4.33. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
As opposed, please say no. Motion prevails. The next section has to do with a provision brought forward by Fresh Energy. Senator Herr in the Senate, is that how you say it? And Representative Morgan in the House. It was House File 2844. It was Senate File 2501. Representative Morgan, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that. On the House side, it's Section 8 on page R4.
Section 8 on page R4. It was an effort by the advocates and the business community joined with them to collect some better data to improve the marketplace, help consumers and the businesses who develop and install this equipment to provide more information in a more transparent marketplace. Chamber of Commerce and Fresh Energy both support the provision.
And I think the entire text of the bill is contained at on the House side, page R4, lines 5.1 through 5.17, and then continuing on page R5 on lines 5.18 through 5.25.
And I'll move that portion of the bill, Madam Chair.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say no. Motion prevails. The next section has to do with a Garofalo-Carlson bill. It was House File 2884 in the House. It was Senate File 2622. I think it was this Senator Carlson.
Yes. It's that much heralded Garofalo-Carlson coalition you see so often.
Yes. And I think it's Section 9 on the House language, starting on page R5. Representative Garofalo, would you like to move that language?
Madam Chair, I'll move that Section 9, page R5, 5.26 through 6.11, and continuing on page R6 from 6.12 through 6.31 be adopted by the committee. 6.31.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails. The next section has to do with a bill that I and Senator Dibble carried. Section 12 on the Senate side, starting on page R6, lines 7.15 to 7.23, continuing through page R7, 7.24 through 8.25, and all the way through page R8, 826 to 916. This was a proposal brought forward by the Center for Energy and Environment, and it authorizes utilities to offer an on-bill repayment program. My understanding is the Senate language was the most current draft of the language that was worked on by the advocates, and so I would move the Senate language at Section 12.
Madam Chair, on this one, there has been a lot of discussion in this in the last few days. I think it will work this way, but I just wanted to see if I think we should see if anybody in the audience had great concerns about it or anything that wanted to speak to it.
Would anybody like to testify about the on-bill repayment portion?
Good.
All right. Okay. So I think I moved that. I think I described it all the way. Senator Carlson.
Madam Chair, can I confirm that we have the non-discrimination language in there?
Are you looking at a certain page and line number, Senator Carlson?
I am not looking at it. I'm hoping someone can point it out.
R6. Yeah, it's 8.2 in the House language. Madam Chair, I think one of the clauses is this is non-discriminatory is on R7, the 8.1 and 2 of the House language. And that may not be the only place, but.
Marty, I would be moving the Senate language because I think there's tiny changes. So I would move the Senate language starting on R6, Section 12. And I think the non-discrimination language is, as you pointed out, if you look at the parallel Senate language in the paragraph E, 8.16 through 8.20.
Yes, I see it.
Any other questions about my motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Motion prevails. We are up to Section 13 on the Senate side on page R8. It's lines 9.17 to 9.24. This is also from the Hortman-Dibble bill from Center for Energy and the Environment. My understanding is the Senate language is the most current draft. Senator Dibble, would you like to move that provision?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Motion prevails. And then we have the Garofalo-Rosen collaboration, Section 14 in the Senate language on page R8, lines 925 and 926, continuing on page R9, lines 927 to 1019. Representative Garofalo, can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, this for those independent power producers, when they are creating new power generation that does not impact ratepayers in Minnesota, this waives the certificate of need process. It's a way to reduce the cost of renewable energy projects when there's no impact on Minnesota ratepayers.
Any discussion?
I think the Madam Chair was told the Senate language is more current and perhaps preferable both those two.
I find that very unlikely, Senator.
Now that's that.
Sorry.
That would be the language I was referring to. So yeah, the Senate language on section 14 on pages R8 and R9.
Well, in the interest of compromise, I'll move that language, Madam Chair.
Representative Garofalo moves that language. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Motion prevails. The next section, we're still working off the Senate side. I try to do the Senate side for the most part, so it might be easier for people to keep track. Section 15 is the Hortman-Marty bill. It's more pieces of the Department of Energy Resources policy bill that deals with correcting an error in the REPI statute with relation to biogas recovery facilities. So Section 15 is on R9. Lines 1020 through 1025, and on page R10, 1026 to 1029. Senator Marty, would you like to move that provision? Senator Marty moves that provision. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Motion prevails. Continuing in the same neighborhood, it's the same bill. Sections 16 and 17 on the Senate side, on pages R10, page R10 from lines 1030 to 1117. This has to do with the PACE language from the Department of Energy policy bill, and it modifies the financing terms to allow somebody making use of that program to borrow as much as 20% and to stretch out their payments over 20 years. And I would move that language.
Madam
Senator
Chair,
Marty.
I would like to move language that actually Senator Osmak had moved on this. Senate floor to exclude GO bonds from the PACE program, and I opposed it on the floor because it had just been presented then, and why, you know, these are things we ought to discuss a little more, so opposed it. We defeated it there, but afterwards, I know I and Senator Dibble, and I'm not sure if Senator Rosen talked about it some, but we were kind of wondering why they needed the GO bonds for this and whether that's appropriate use of it, and so I guess I wanted to explore and move that we take that out. And I guess we asked the department the day after this about why, where this language came from. And apparently the cities were saying we want more alternatives for financing. They were not asking for GO bonding, and the department, just whoever put the language together, put it in there. And I'm not sure that it's a great idea to use GO bonding for something like this. And I wonder if anybody from DER or anybody from the PACE program wanted to comment on that, because I'd rather we not include it if there's not a good reason for it. And I realize that the Senate voted it down, but that was partly because it had not been presented before. And so is anybody from DER willing to comment on this or where it came from?
And for members' point of reference, it's the A13 amendment in your packet. Welcome to the conference committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Bill Grant for the Division of Energy Resources, Department of Commerce. I think Senator Marty is correct. We are trying to create as many opportunities as possible for local units of government to finance projects under the PACE program, and general obligation bonds would be one of those options. I tend to agree with Senator Marty that it is unlikely that it is an alternative that would be used, and for that reason, I think we could eliminate it without doing damage to the overall approach that we're trying to take here.
Any discussion from members or questions from members? Anybody else in the audience like to testify about the provision? So, Senator Marty, would you like to move sections 16 and 17 on page R10 and with the A13 amendment?
With that, and Madam Chair, I also think we don't need, I think on lines 11, 15, and 16, deleting in a manner consistent with the requirements of that. In other words, the language would then read additional or alternative funding sources do not include issuance of general obligation bonds, period. I'd like to move it with that incorporated, because we don't need to say they cannot use general obligation bonds in a manner consistent with the requirements of this. Sort of implies they could use GO bonds inconsistent with that, which is.
Madam Chair.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. let me see if I get the senator's proposal right. Are we just trying to strip those three lines, 1114 through 1116, or are you specifically trying to forbid the issuance of GO bonds in this case?
Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, Representative Morgan, I'm not sure it would make a huge difference because I'm not sure they could use GO bonds for this without authority. And we are giving them additional, the paragraph before that you can see allows additional or alternative funding sources. So I could live with it either way if you want to just, I think it does, this, unless Senate Council or House Research needed to stay there and make.
Mr. Fuller.
Madam Chair, members, I think that Senator Marty's correction might be correct. I'm assuming Chapter 475 only deals with GO bonds and not revenue bonds. Is that correct?
No, Madam Chair.
I think
your question is different than what Representative Morgan was.
I think you need to retain the language on line 14 because that completes the notion that you can't issue GO bonds. Otherwise, there would be no limitation on that unless there was an otherwise a prohibition. So
the motion is originally stated.
I'll stick with the motion I made earlier.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails. We have one more. We don't have one more pay section. Now we get to a Garofalo-Herr collaboration. On the Senate language, sections 18, 19, and 20 on pages R10, R11, and R12. Lines 11.18 through 11.23, 11.24 through 12.9, 12.10 through 12.25, and 12.26 and 12.27 reflect the House File 2924 Garofalo Bill, Senate File 2483, a HER bill regarding alternative siting review. Representative Garofalo, would you like to move that language and tell us what it does briefly?
It just establishes different rulemaking for the PUC. It's regarding the utility scale solar projects. So
kind of a streamlined permitting
more
process.
More savings for the ratepayers.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Motion prevails. The next section is in the Senate side, section 24. This is Senator Bonoff. Hollydale provision, Representative Anderson's Hollydale provision. It was House File 2704, Senate File 2296. Section 24 on page R17, lines 1331 to 1425.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move that.
Representative
section.
Seltzer moves the Hollydale provision. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails. The next section was section 25 on the Senate side, page R18, lines 1426 to 1434. This was brought to us by Senator Skoy and Representative Roger Erickson, requiring the LEC to look into some alternatives that might be available to those who are currently dependent on propane gas. And I'm in a compromising mood, so I'm happy to go with the Senate language, which I understand Senator Marty has worked out with Senator Skoy.
Madam Chair, I have talked with Senator Skoy about this. I think he was envisioning not a huge LEC study, but taking a look at the whole issue. I think both the House and Senate agree we want to take a look at delivered gas people, propane users, to see if there are other ways to do heating. And Senator Skoy was particularly interested in whether there are ways to extend natural gas piping to some communities. I don't think this would be a major part of the LEC work, but I do think it's something that he had a particular reason for wanting. So the language I had proposed here, and he wasn't at the Capitol the day this was voted on, but I ran it by him, that we would talk about natural gas. Here's a particular one, and also look at alternative sources of energy as well. But I would move the Senate language to accommodate that. And obviously, I think LEC is focused on a broader thing than that, but this was a specific request for us.
Senator Marty moves the Senate language, Section 25. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails. The next section on the Senate side is Section 26. This is also from the Department of Energy Resources Policy Bill, and it's repealing some obsolete rules from the obsolete rules report. And I think we have to look closely at this because there was an amendment to in the Senate to retain a rule, and the amendment didn't seem to make it into the bill that passed the floor. So looking at page R18, lines 15.1 through 15.9, and on R19, lines 15.10 to 15.13, we want to keep on line 15.10, part 7610.0300. So I'm going to ask Mr. Eliff, should I make the motion to move section 26 except for lines 15.10 and 15.11?
Madam Chair, you can do that, or we have an amendment prepared that does it as well.
Sounds good. I'll just do it that way. Does everybody understand the motion? Mm-hmm. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, can we then change subdivision 4 on line 15.12 to subdivision 3, which we're eliminating?
Yes. I'll incorporate that in my motion. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails.
Madam Chair.
Senator Marty.
On the LIHEAP administrative expense, the House had that. The Senate, because we were working off the House file, had it as well, and there was a proposal by amendment by Senator
Gazelka.
Senator Gazelka amendment to take that out, and that's the one that the percentage of LIHEAP funds that could go to the CAP agencies. I've heard from several members, at least two in our caucus, who came to me saying they had voted for the amendment when they wanted the opposite. They wanted to have the higher amount. And I think there's been general agreement that the CAP agencies need the higher amount. And, I mean, Senator Gazelka's comment was he wanted to make sure more money was getting to the people who need it. But the trouble is, I think a lot of the CAP agencies have had to lay off people, and they're not able to get the money out to them. So I actually, even though the Senate had a vote on this, I think some members of the Senate felt two of them approached me saying they felt they had voted opposite. So I'd like to move the House language on that.
And that would be Section 27 on page R18. Is there discussion? Lines 18.6 through 18.19. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would support this motion. I think it's very prudent to make sure that we don't tie the hands of our CAP agencies, and they are allowed to get this money out, and they know better as far as their administrative costs and how much it's going to take. So I think that's extremely important measure on your part.
Thank you, Senator Rosen. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of Senator Marty's motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails. Now I think we get to the Homeowners Association language. I believe we have dealt with all the other bills that are in the the energy omnibus bills. Senator Marty.
There's one other provision in the Senate bill, and I wanted to at least make the case for it and maybe hear from if admin or anybody from the state is here. Senator Brown had put in, it's on R1, the very first item, mandatory use of renewable electric energy in state buildings, requiring that is, he argued that the state should be a role model for others and that we should be purchasing all renewable energy. I don't think he intended putting a wind turbine on top of the Capitol Dome. There are ways of doing it. I've talked with some folks from Department of Administration. The obvious way they could do this would be by contracting with the electric utility and purchasing only renewable power. My understanding from Excel is that could be at current rates, which would probably be cheaper. I mean, it could actually save money by 2020, but current rates it could cost, I think the estimate was $300,000 a year more under the Wind Source program or whatever Xcel calls its program for commercial customers. In any case, I wanted to move that just so we could have quick comments from anybody in the administration if they had who had looked at this, and then we can take it.
Welcome to the conference committee.
Good evening, members of the committee. My name is Kurt Yoakum with the Minnesota Department of Administration, and we had looked at the provision, and it was actually just today that we were actually able to get some of the additional data from Xcel Energy. We've been working closely with them just to understand what the ramifications of this provision would be. And I believe that in with the working with the data that we had and then with what Xcel provided us, just using last year as an example, the last year the Capitol Complex admin has about custodial control for about 23 buildings, with about probably roughly 19 of those, I believe, being in the Capitol Complex. Our electricity bill was about $5.1 million, and I think Xcel gave us an estimate of, just using last year's number, with that wind source energy program, that estimate about a 6% increase or about $350,000, I think, is what they had talked about, just comparing last year's. And obviously there's a fair amount of variables that really make it kind of difficult to predict for several years out. I think that the other question out there is what is the capacity of the program, and would they be able to provide the energy levels that are needed for the Capitol Complex? So those were the questions that came up, and I apologize that I didn't have a chance to talk to both chairs about that. We were just able to get some of the data today. I think for the state, when we would start needing more concrete variables, we obviously all of this, any subsequent charges get charged back to all the tenants in the Capitol Complex and are built into the lease rates. So within, another year or two, we would obviously have to be, for the next set of budget cycles, start factoring those into the lease rates and going through that process. So those would be the unknowns that we have out there, and the impact, the questions that we would have still yet to answer as we go forward with this process if this was to be adopted.
Senator Marty, I think that the House conferees would be disinclined to take something that makes the bill cost money.
Madam Chair, I understand. I want to make two comments. I will, one of which is, I think Senator Brown's point about the state being a model is important. And number two, obviously the fiscal note wouldn't show up anything because this is 6 years out, but that doesn't mean we should do it for that reason. I'm saying I think this is something we ought to be looking at, and I understand that House is not supportive or not likely to support this, and I do think this is something. I think we want the state to be leading rather than following. I think we ought to be talking about this, and I understand the Department of Administration has done some quick digging on this quickly. But so I will withdraw the motion, but I want people to keep this in mind as direction we may want to head next year.
Thank you, Senator Marty. Taking a look at the big white space on the Senate side, on pages R13 and 14 and 15 and 16, that is where we have on the House side Representative Morgan's provisions, also carried by Senator Eaton in the Senate, authorizing those folks who live in a homeowners association to install solar energy at their home only if they own the roof. They're responsible for the care of the roof. It is their own single-family roof, and they are responsible for insuring the roof. And also, Representative Morgan, if you could talk a little bit about some of the compromises you made with the homeowners associations on the parameters for the projects.
Certainly, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. The advocates from Fresh Energy and I sat down with the representatives from the Community Association Institute, I believe CAI is the name of the organization, who represent homeowners associations. And we had several conversations in my office, and I know there were many more outside my office where I was not present, to help to address all of the expressed concerns
by the Homeowners Association organization, CAI. They were very honest up front. They said that we have a national policy that we do not ever support any legislative efforts to control or to take away the authority of homeowners associations. So they were very honest with us up front. But they were very good about sitting down with us, expressing to us precisely what their concerns were. We made certainly more than a dozen changes to the bill along the way to address those concerns. And again, they I give them a lot of credit for being willing to sit down, even though we knew and they knew in the end they were never going to get to supporting that bill. We as you can see, if you look through the Section 22, and 22 is really the meat of the bill. 23 and 24 and 25, those are kind of conforming areas of language. But you can see that it, as you said, Madam Chair, this applies only to members of an association who own their roof and insure their roof and are responsible for repairs of their roof. And there are all kinds of requirements that can be placed upon them. It can't go above the peak of the roof. It can't go over the overhang of the roof and so forth and so on. Anyway, we worked really hard on this, and it did pass the House. I see that it did not make it through on the Senate side. But I think it's really good work that was done on our side, and I don't know what your plan is to do with it right now, Madam Chair, but I will, I guess, throw it back to you.
Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, just a little bit of history on the Senate side. The Senate bill started the same, obviously, and in one of the committees, I think Judiciary Senator Sharon had made it so it only apply to future to homeowner associations that haven't been formed yet. And that was what came to that's what was moving in the Senate. And when we took the House bill, we had your language. There was an amendment to delete the whole thing, which is what passed. In the time since then, I've had several discussions, as I'm sure you and others have too, with some of the folks involved. And I had drafted, and I'll have this distributed, an amendment on the effective date that I want to put out for discussion of the committee. And this was one that, having talked with the Homeowners Association folks, was real interest on their part, but I'm not sure ready to go with it. But this would have been making it effective August 1st for homeowner associations that have not been created yet. Similar, but a different date than what Senator Sharon had tried to do. So if you start a homeowner association after August 1st, the law would apply. And for those created before that, what we would do is delay the effective date for 2 years, and in that 2-year period, give those homeowner associations a chance to opt out of it or to modify it or to let it go as is, but by a simple majority vote, so that homeowner associations could consider it. And that way we'd have the discussion, because my understanding is some of these associations, they rarely get people, especially for the individual separate housing ones, they rarely get enough people there to even have a quorum to talk about it. And this would, in effect, put out the legislation, Representative Morgan's proposal, as a sort of a model that we would hope they'd adopt, but we'd give them 2 years. They'd have the freedom to go either way. We can have testimony from the folks if they want, but when I talked to them last night, they liked the idea. When they sent it to their lawyers, they expressed concerns that, well, you know, amending the declarations is complicated stuff. I said, well, you know, you could still, if the lawyers involved think it might be too confusing, they'd have 2 years to just say, if they look at it for the next 6 months and it doesn't look like it's going to work well for them, they could just vote it down and say they don't want it. If they think it's workable, which I think they may well feel, that then they could have the discussion and maybe they'd put in some extra amendments that, in our case, we don't want them bigger than this size or whatever, additional qualifications. But that way, at least the homeowners associations would, in effect, have to deal with the issue and have to consider it.
I thought this was a good idea, and I would like to move the House language with this, but I think I'm not sure it's ready for that, and so I guess maybe I'd like to hear from, first of all, Representative Morgan. I haven't talked with you about this since it came out. I think it's what you said, the Homeowner Association folks have all said that they agree that you worked very hard and made great progress, and your reflection of how they don't support any mandates on their or changes in their thing, this would give them the choice. So I really like this approach. Hearing from them, maybe it's something that we have to deal with next year, but maybe we could have a few minutes of testimony if that's fine.
Representative Morgan, did you want to give any feedback at this moment?
I think I would, if it would please the chair, I would like to hear from other folks who've worked on this.
Senator Rosen, did you want to discuss the issue before we take testimony? So are there those in the audience who'd like to give some feedback on either Representative Morgan's provisions or the proposed compromise?
Both sides come forward.
Yeah, go ahead, and anybody who feels concerned, feel free to come and sit at the testifying table at the same time. Welcome to the conference committee. Please state your name and go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Ross Abbey. I'm a policy associate with Fresh Energy. We're one of the advocate groups that has worked with Representative Morgan on the House bill and also on the Senate bill. I understand this amendment is in the spirit of compromise, trying to find middle ground. It is substantial departure from what we had in the House. You know, the House version, as I read it, was trying to establish a system where HOAs couldn't just ban SOAR. They had to regulate it with a rule of reason. This would allow them to opt out within the first 2 years. But I think there's some merit in this approach. You know, as I read this compromise amendment, they would at least have to sit down and look at the law, think about it, have a conversation, decide whether they want to have a reasonable regulatory approach or whether they want to opt out of it. And so for those reasons, Fresh Energy would reluctantly support this compromise.
To the other testifier, welcome to the committee. Please state your name and go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Greg Patterson, and I chair the Legislative Action Committee of the Community Associations Institute, Minnesota chapter. And I wish to speak in opposition to the amendment, respectfully. There are approximately 7,500 established community associations that already exist in Minnesota. Many of them are operating under the legal documents that they've had for decades. I appreciate the objective of the amendment. It's really sort of a heavy-handed approach to associations to tell them that they're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to amend their governing documents in terms of legal fees to amend the documents appropriately and to pay the recording costs at the registrar and recorder's offices. I also suspect that many of these associations, because thousands of them do not have professional management, and even the state of Minnesota, the Secretary of State's office, has no way of mailing notices to them. If you look through the nonprofit corporations list from the Secretary of State, you'll find that many community associations have been administratively dissolved because they no longer have an accurate mailing address. They simply, the small associations, self-managed association boards, are unaware that they need to file an annual corporate registration. So they become administratively dissolved, and no one but the folks who live there or work for them know how to contact them. So there are going to be thousands of associations that will never get this word. So they'd really be disenfranchised and excluded. I also suspect that the real property section of the State Bar Association, particularly the Minnesota Common Interest Ownership Act Committee, the MCIOWA Committee, might want to weigh in on this issue.
I'm sorry, I missed your name at the beginning.
Greg Pedersen.
Mr. Pedersen, would you like the amendment better if it didn't require an amendment to the declarations, if it just required an affirmative vote of the board of directors?
That would be far superior. That would be a great improvement.
Discussion among the members of the committee of the whole.
Madam Chair, it may not be ready for primary, but I have no, this the way it came back from Senate counsel for the Judiciary Committee was that the logical way in her mind was that we'd amend the declaration, but I'm certainly wanting the simplest thing possible. And the other thing I heard from some of the representatives of the community associations is that notwithstanding Section 515B doesn't cover all of the associations, only covers some of them. So your suggestion, which Mr. Pedersen seems to like better, would certainly be acceptable to me if we were to do that. I'm just floating that because I guess the reality I sense, and I don't want to predict Senate votes, but I think it would be difficult, regardless of what we choose to do here, I think it would be difficult with the bill on the Senate floor as the House has it. And I support Representative Morgan's language. I think he's done a good job with this, but I'm just trying to reflect reality, so I'm pointing that out.
Welcome to the committee, sir.
Madam Chair, thank you. Appreciate it. My name's John Wood. I represent myself. I'm a homeowner in a homeowners association. I own my roof. I insure it. I'm responsible for it. I'm all in favor of being able, not being regulated by homeowners associations. I think it should be an individual's right to have solar power in their house. And I think homeowners associations, notwithstanding the good they do, are kind of behind the times as far as this. They're governed by covenants that have been written decades ago, as you said, that are very difficult to change and don't reflect, you know, the progress that's going on today. If we could find some compromise on this, I think it would be a great thing. As you mentioned, though, leaving it up to a vote of the board of the homeowners associations, I'm not sure that would be a great idea. I mean, homeowners themselves need to be involved. And at the very least, if we could start a conversation to see about this. I mean, solar power is just too important for the state of Minnesota. It's important for our economy and jobs. And frankly, homeowners associations have become a roadblock as far as this goes. I have a personal experience I'd be happy to share with you, but I don't want to take all of your time. Thank you.
Questions from members or discussion from members? Well, Senator Marty, I have a proposal that we have some language drafted. Perhaps it would be a majority of the members of the association would be a way to do it if it's not a majority of the board. I guess what I was imagining when you first spoke of the concept of compromise was that this would be something that would happen at the annual Homeowners Association meeting, and all the members of the association would get notice that it was on the agenda ahead of time and have an opportunity to go to the meeting. In my neighborhood, I've been in a homeowners association since I moved to Brooklyn Park in 1992, first in one association, then in another. Single-family home, I own my roof, I insure my own house. We have never gotten a quorum. We can't do anything because we can't get enough homeowners to show up. So if I were to go to my homeowners association and say I would like to put solar on my roof, I don't think we could get a quorum to approve it. But if we got a notice that there was going to be a discussion about whether the homeowners association was going to accept or reject a state law that set a standard for solar panels, I don't know if that would drive attendance, but it might drive attendance more than the mailbox maintenance discussion does. So perhaps we could work on an amendment between now and tomorrow, and Senator Marty, you and the conferees could discuss it with your Senate colleagues to see if there's some hope for a compromise in the Senate.
And Madam Chair, I'd be happy to, and maybe other members of the conference committee want to speak to this. I think the idea what you're saying would make more sense rather than trying to draft something right now. As I indicated when I talked with you about this several days ago, that was the concept where, in effect, the homeowners would have a choice. And again, I think the difficulty which Mr. Wood just pointed out was that some of these have been created decades ago and solar power wasn't something people might put on their roof. And times are changing, and I think I wanted to be reflective of the situation that you and I think a lot of, and Mr. Wood and lots of others are, where realistically they don't have a chance of getting it considered this way, and yet reflecting the concerns of the Homeowners Association saying, we moved here, we understand these are the rules, we're changing the rules, so letting people have the vote in it, I think, is a reasonable compromise. So I'm open to that. I guess if other Senate conferees have comments, I'd love to have us be able to do something this year. And maybe we could take the House language and it would pass. But I think Senator Rosen and some of the other conferees may have comments, because I think you were all on the floor when we had the vote before. And I don't know each of your views on it either.
Any feedback on the idea of floating a proposed compromise to senators?
I'm all right.
See a lot of nodding.
Sure.
And I understand the approach that Senator Sharon was taking, but as a representative in the city of Brooklyn Park and the city of Coon Rapids, about 90% of my residents in Brooklyn Park live in homeowners associations. So if this only applied prospectively, it really wouldn't affect any of my constituents because we're pretty much fully developed. So,
well, Madam Chair, on that, I like your suggestion that we – this is the last thing to resolve in the conference committee yet? If so,
I believe so.
Unless there are other things.
Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair, I was just going to ask Senator Marty that Senator Sharon's bill had as of January 1st of 2015. Yours is August 1st of 2014.
Right. And
just
Madam,
wondering what the difference was.
Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, you're right. And I talked with Senator Sharon about this today, and she pointed that out, and she would feel much more comfortable with that. Again, she's one member of the Senate, but you know, we need 34 votes for whatever we're bringing forward. I'm certainly open to August 1st of 2015. But, I mean, whatever it is, my whole point of the thing was that we weren't going to – the reason I had suggested two-year ratification period is if the homeowner association – if an attorney for them or somebody says, you know, hey, we're not sure how this is all going to work out. We got to do something. Let's just vote it down quickly. I think the thing we want to have is that people discuss this and find out what their options are. So I'm certainly open to that. And maybe as we, if Representative Hortman and I each try and get some things drafted and we can shop it around members of the conference committee and some other members of the Senate, probably be wise to do too.
Well, thank you, Senator Marty. I think it would be my hope that we would have a conversation tomorrow with our colleagues and find out in pretty short order whether it's going to fly. And if it isn't, then we would convene and close up the conference committee report, because I think pretty soon we're going to reach a moment in session where if your conference committee report's not on the table, it's not going to make it. So I think we have to keep in mind that we want to get this done pretty soon.
Madam Chair, with that, maybe we, I'm sure staff don't need direction from the conference committee, but I think the provisions we've resolved already, unless anybody's objecting, I think that's going to stay true. It's only a matter of whether we'll have this section with some amendment to it.
Sounds good. So I think I would make a motion to adjourn the conference committee.
To
any discussion?
Until tomorrow, yeah.
Do we adjourn them or do we recess them or what's the, I forget, the protocol?
Adjourn for today.
And the gavel goes to the Senate next. So I move to adjourn. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No? I guess we don't have to vote on adjournment in conference committees, do we? We're adjourned.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks for giving us a voice.